Three types of transplants we have to discuss. There are transplants from healthy, normal human beings. The type of transplant which we're discussing in that category is a kidney transplant, right? A kidney is taken. If you transplant a kidney from one patient to another patient, from the donor to a patient, then that's taken from a normal, healthy human being who then lives without one kidney and transplants it to another patient who does kidneys have failed. That's one type of transplant. The second type of transplant is a transplant from a totally dead individual. And the only type of transplant normally which we discuss under those conditions is anybody know offhand? No, totally dead.
Cornea,
and I believe skin grafts also can come from an individual.
Bone totally dead.
Excuse me, what else?
Bone?
Okay, so bone, skin, and corneas can come from somebody who is completely dead. And then we have the third type of transplant, which comes from somebody who is brain dead but not heart dead, which is the heart transplant, liver transplant. Those types of transplants are taken from somebody who is brain dead but not heart dead. And we're going to discuss all three types and try and come to some clear conclusions tonight to the best of our ability. To begin with, let's examine the halacha on page number one of the handout. This is taken from the Aruch HaShulchan. Haroeh chaveiro, somebody who sees his friend from there by mine. He's drowning in the water. Alistim boim alav, or there are bandits who are coming to attack him. Ochaya, or a wild animal. Or sharmin tzor, any other type of travail. V'yochel atzilo ba'atmo, I can save this individual himself. Only Skar and Oshim Latzilo can save other individuals and save his, hire out other individuals to save this person who's in trouble. Below he healed, and he did not save. Oshishoma Soni, Milakshim Lasosoro, he even heard that people who hate this person are whispering that they want to do something evil to him. But under all these circumstances, below deal, you didn't notify this person that somebody was planning to do something wrong against you. Oh, Yada Sha'onas Rosalon to Chavero, etc. All these cases, if he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Hatzolah, I'm skipping two lines. Kol Chayoti B'dvorim Elu, Ovra Lo Samaro Gamreach, he transgresses the law. There's a law, don't stand idly by while your friend's blood is in danger. So all these cases are, your friend is in danger, you can't stand by, you must get involved, you must save your friend from whatever danger is facing him. Umikaro Kol Nanuleti Mitzilu B'mamun, if I save my friend, it costs me money, M'chuyi Banito Lach Zero, then the money which I expended, my friend has to return to me. In other words, that's not for free. If I spent money, he has to pay me back for what I did. So here we have the halacha that if I see a friend of mine in trouble, I have to get involved. Now, one of the cases which I mentioned here, one of the cases is if I see my friend drowning in a river. Another case is if I see bandits which are attacking. The question is, what is my status? What's going to happen if I jump into the fray? What's going to happen if I jump into the water? Am I required to put myself into a case where I am in a sakana? Myself, I am now putting myself in danger by getting involved in saving this individual? Or is it only talking about a case where there's no danger involved to the person who is doing the saving? That's the question which we have to explore. Now, if you take a look in the last halacha, in Halacha Dalet, the other box, Aposki may view b'shem Yerushalmi, the poskim brought down name of Yerushalmi, the chayav odom lahachlis and sasma l'safik sakana. One must put himself into a situation of danger k'dei l'hatzil chaver in order to save his friend. V'arishonim shmitzuzet. V'arishonim left us out. V'idnei shebashash lonu muchach, because in our shas in the Bavli, the post Yerushalmi, it's clear, she'enu chayav lahachlis atzma atzmo, you don't have to put yourself in a situation of danger in order to save somebody else. Umil, nonetheless, hakoliki idea. Everything is based on the situation at hand. Lishkolinim bepelis, and one must weigh the matter carefully. Below lishmar es atmo yoser midai. Don't keep yourself too far from harm's way. In other words, if you know that reasonably you'll be able to save this individual without incurring too much harm to yourself, you have to get involved. It says concerning this, V'shom arenu b'yesh alokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show his salvation to certain individuals. Zehu sheshom kol achos, is a person who reckons all his ways in order to do the proper thing. V'chom akayim nefesh misol, anybody who sustains a Jewish soul. Kilu kiyim olam mole, it's as if he has sustained an entire world. Okay, so here we have the Bavli arguing on the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi holds, according to the way some poskim interpreted it, that you must even put yourself into a situation of danger in order to save your friends. Now we'll see that on the second page. If you turn over the page, on page 2, the back of this book, you have a photocopy of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, in fact, is not necessarily, as some Achronim point out, it's not necessarily clear-cut that you have to put yourself into danger in order to save your friend. Let's see what Yerushalmi says. Rabbi Imi Itzad Besifsei, right in the box. Rabbi Imi was cut, he was caught and taken into captivity by bandits. I'm Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason said, he said a little bit of a saying here, I guess. Yikoye Hameis Bestino. Let this dead person be wrapped in a shroud. In other words, he wasn't yet dead yet, but he was saying, well, it's time to prepare the shrouds, there's nothing to do. Tough luck. Rabbi Yami's lost. So I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Lakish said, Ad ona kotil, ona miskato. Either I'll kill or be killed. Ona ezil, I'm going to go, and I'm going to save him by force. It's interesting, by the way, who remembers, what was Rish Lakish's background?
He was a bandit himself,
so he was a kind of a little bit of an expert at saving people who were taken captive by bandits. But Rish Lakish was saying, I'm willing to undergo the danger, either I'll kill them, or I'll be killed myself, I'll run the risk. So he went, he didn't have too much trouble, he went and he made a deal with the captors, the Avuni lay, and they gave the individual, they gave Rabbi Yami back over to Rish Lakish. Amalun. So he said to the bandits, "Va'asum gabi sabu, come back with me to the old man, to Rabbi Yonasan. Rumatzi alechon, he'll pray for you." Atum gabi Rabbi Yochanan, they came back to Rabbi Yochanan, who was, I guess, the older man who Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was referring to. Amar Lahun, and Rabbi Yochanan gave them a brocha, in quotes. Amar Lahun, ma da hava belibchon, yavi lei, what you had in your mind, in your heart, to do to this individual, to Rabbi Yami, isabu lon should befall you. Yimtala Uama, and that should be for your nation. Romatun ad the Azlun Kulom, and I'm not sure exactly how it was translated, but it didn't take too long until they all were in fact killed. They had a mind to Rabbani, Rabbi Yochanan gave them a curse, and they in fact all died out themselves. So from here, this is Yerushalmi that they want to say requires one to save another individual, even if you place yourself into a situation of sakana. Is it necessarily mukhar for that way from Yerushalmi? Necessarily prove that from Yerushalmi? Why not? You're right. Rish Lakish was volunteering for the task. Rish Lakish did the right thing, but he was with the Mishur Sadin. He wasn't required to do so. That's not necessarily
what
so.
About Tzar Ba'al Yisrael? What about Tzar Ba'al Yisrael? Mohammed Mitzvah?
We'll get that much later. At the end of the evening, we'll get that. We have a very valid point, okay, which will come out, we'll come to later on. If you're in Tzar, you're in the Jewish army, right? And you are out in the battlefield, and your friend, your fellow soldier, is lying out there wounded under enemy fire. You have to go out and save him. That's essentially what you're asking, right?
The whole Indian and the soul that's not.
That's
that. In danger.
Well, they'll come back to that later on tonight. Right here, this is not a milchama. That's a good question. In other words, that would change radically the face of war, because we know that in the rules of engagement, if you have a wounded co-soldier out in the open field, the battlefield, you're not allowed to leave him there. You have to try as much as possible to go out and save him. Based on what we're saying, like the Bavli, not like the Yerushalmi, then you would have not a chiyuv to save him. You wouldn't have to go. It's a suffix sakana. You don't have any greater sakana than putting yourself into the situation of going under live fire. Who says you have to go under live fire to save somebody else? So we'll come back to that later on. But here we're not talking about a war. Here we're talking about one other individual was taken in captivity by Goyim. In this case, it seems that Rish Lakish volunteered. To volunteer, I might be entitled to do so. But that doesn't mean that Yerushalmi is mechayev me, requires me to put myself into a situation of suffix sakonos nefoshos, where I might be under the threat of death in order to save my friend. Okay? Somebody else wanted to say something before? Okay, so that is Yerushalmi. And in fact, we see that the Rambam holds not like Yerushalmi. Even if we hold that Yerushalmi does mean that you're required to go save your friend, the Rambam doesn't pass that way. That's what we see on page 3. Page 3 in Halacha Ches, Hagolah. We have somebody who killed somebody else for Shogeg. Reuven killed Shimon unintentionally. Okay, yeah. It doesn't cry. Right. Rav Recha Kamocha will apply differently, though. Rav Recha Kamocha, we have the famous case of Rabbi Akiva with the canteen, right? So you don't have to give your friend the canteen. Rav Recha Kamocha supports the contention of what the Aruch HaShulchan passes. That just like if we have two people in the desert, and only one canteen between the two of them, Rabbi Akiva Paskins, I keep it. I don't have to split it with you. Why? Because v'atel re'echa kamocha. You have to love your fellow man as yourself, but you come first. Right?
Doesn't it call the Chai Banner?
Yes, because Chai Banner, but the Ramban ala Torah. I'm giving you the explanation of the Ramban ala Torah, how Rabbi Akiva explains v'atel re'echa kamocha. Yeah. So v'atel re'echa kamocha means you come first, and then he comes second. So same thing here. You don't put yourself into a suffix in order to save your fellow Jew. So here we see the same thing in the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like this, passing a case of somebody who went out and killed somebody else unintentionally, right? So what's the halacha? If I killed somebody b'shogeg, what do I have to do? I have to go to Ir Miklat. The moment I leave in Ir Miklat, what's my halacha? Who killed me?
Well,
Adam, right? The person, the nearest relative of the person who I killed. By the way, I saw an amazing, this is on a tangent, I saw an amazing halacha while I was preparing in the Pesachei Tshuva. He says that b'zman hazeh, we don't have any halacha of your mitzvah, right? But if you know that somebody killed a relative of yours, or even any other Jew, because ultimately we're related to all Jews, then you are mechuyav to pay money to prosecute this individual to the full extent of the law. That is the key of the mitzvah of Gol Adam b'zman hazeh. If you can get him the death penalty, ma tovu ma noi. That's the best. But if you can't get him the death penalty, then he must make sure to prosecute to the full extent of the law, because the same rationale of Goel Hadam that applies then applies now. That Jewish blood shouldn't be hefker. The Pesachei Tshuva. It's not a modern day psak, the Shavuos Yaakov or something like that. Some older psak. But in Europe, they were goes there that any time there was a Jewish person who was killed, it was a mitzvah, they used to put set up Goel Hadam. Wasn't necessarily the closest relative, it was the richest person who was able to afford the court charges. They would set up a Goel Adam who would be appointed to take care of this issue and make sure the person was prosecuted to the full extent of the law. So we have this halacha that a Goel has to sit in the Ir Miklat, right? Somebody who killed somebody else has to sit in the Ir Miklat forever. Hagola ain't until their Kohen Golo dies. Hagola ain't a Yosef Ir Miklat to Olam. He can never leave the Ir Miklat, the city where he took refuge. Vafil bar mitzvah, even if he has to go perform a mitzvah. Ol Edus, even if he has to go testify some testimony. Bein Edus Mamon, Bein Edus Kefoshos. Whether it be an Edus of a monetary issue or an Edus of a capital issue, Zalazgo. Vafil lahatzil nefesh beduzo. Even if with his Edus, I know there's a court case taking place in a different city, and I know that the individual is being charged with murder one, didn't in fact commit the murder, and I can go testify and get him off the hook. I don't have to leave my Ir Miklat in order to do that. I stay in my city. It's the same another Jew from a goy, omiyat hanor from a river, omiyat hanor from a fire, omiyat hanor from an avalanche. I don't have to do it. Even if this is the general which can save all of Yisrael, ki Yoav ben Tzruya, like Yoav who is the general of David HaMelech, even if it's the general Schwarzkopf who is in exile, doesn't leave. He can't leave, and most are going to go until the coin of God will die. The Yasa, if he leaves, he there at Mulamisa. The Gaul is not allowed to kill him. So what do we see? We see that a person, even though he has the mitzvah of Samar al Damre Echa, he doesn't have to put himself into a suffix sakana for that mitzvah. No, but he can leave the Ir Miklat. I can leave the Ir Miklat and go and wage war, be a general like Yoav ben Tzruya, go and testify, and I could get back home safely to the Ir Miklat. They could give me an escort, a police escort, they could make sure it's an army. There are all sorts of ways in which it could be done. I'm not mechuyav to do it. I don't have to go. If I want, and run the risk, I'm entitled to do so. But I can't afford to go, even though there's a mitzvah of Losamar Damriel. So we see clearly that even in a case where there is a suffix, only a suffix sakana, I don't have to undergo the suffix sakana in order to save my fellow Jew's life. Right, but that doesn't mean he's not allowed to leave. He's allowed to, he's just going to get killed. Yeah. You're right. He says Eino Yotzi, but he doesn't say Osur Lotzi. The Achronim point out that he's allowed to leave if he wants to. He's running the risk, but he's allowed to leave if he wants to. What? Right. This is going to have a major ramification at this point. We're going to see in a couple of moments. Okay, now we're going to get directly into our issue. The issue is a kidney transplant. A kidney transplant, you're putting yourself into a suffix on a confusion. Right? You're undergoing it reasonably, at least in the old days. Now it's different, but in the old days when the kidney transplant was first devised, it was a reasonably risky operation. So the question is, if somebody comes in front of me, and he says that he needs a kidney, and I'm the match, do I have to go ahead and do it? The case we had recently in Chicago. Similar case, right, with the leukemia patient, the bone marrow transfer. The mother refused to let the kids undergo the bone marrow transplant. Again, the same idea. Was she halakhically entitled to bar her children from being donors? Or do I say, since I know that they're a match, therefore they must go ahead and put themselves into the situation of sakona in order to save their fellow Jew? But obviously there wasn't Jewish, it wasn't the same child. But the question is, under our circumstances, what exactly is halacha is? So, it's interesting, a very similar question was asked to Radbaz. As you turn the page, you'll see what the Radbaz was asked. In the bottom of the box on page 4. Shal to me many. You ask me the following question. Oh, the Akadaiti, you want me to give you my opinion. Amasha Isa Kosov, you saw the following case. Im Omar Shilton Yisrael. Let's say the king tells the Jew, Hanakli the Kasit Abrahot Chain Chameis. I want to cut off your little finger. You're not going to die. I just want to cut off your little finger. If you don't let me cut off your little finger, I'm going to kill another Jew. What's that law? They tell me that they're going to kill Reuven if I don't let them cut off my little finger. Do I have to let them go and cut off my little finger? I'm not going to die. There's no sakonas nefashos here. Do I have to go ahead and let them do it to me? What?
Sure.
You say sure.
If they tell you that they're going to kill you if you don't go and kill... Oh, it's a little different. He's saying they said they're going to kill him.
Right. Okay? Again, I'm not killing Reuven. They're going to kill Reuven. So do I have to do it or not? So we have here L'chora, Lo Samen Al Dam Reich. I'm not allowed to stand by when they're about to inflict death on my fellow Jew. So it would seem that I'm a chuyav to have my finger cut off. It's not even suffix sakonas nefashos. They're definitely not going to die. It's a minor operation. Why should it not be permissible? Why should I not be mechuyav to do it? Why should I have to have my little finger cut off? So the Radbaz, by the way, is 16th century, quite relatively early. The Radbaz says, if you look in the underlying part of the facing page, said the Radbaz, the two, it's possible, Dilma de Chatiha Sefer, by cutting off a limb, Alpha Pishin Rishama Tuyabo, even though the soul does not depend on that limb, such as a little finger, Shema Yetimenu Dam Harbin, maybe he's going to lose a lot of blood. The Yamusin will die. My chodis, and in this case we say a classic statement in Chazal, my chodis, who says the dam chavero sumak tvei, that his friend's blood is redder? In other words, who says that I should do this in order that my friend should live? Maybe there's a small chance I might die as a result of this. I might bleed to death. Therefore, I don't have to do it. Maybe my blood is redder. Maybe I should survive. Maybe I should make sure not to enter into any problem. Vani Racing says the Radbaz, I saw myself. A person who died, they should sort to his own those fritos dacos. When they scratched his ear, very thin scratches, loti man down to remove blood. The Yosef Kokach, and so much blood came out, Achimase until he died. There's no lighter limb, there's no lighter part of the body than the ear. And if you can die as a result of your ear being cut, you definitely can die as a result of your finger being cut off. So says the Radbaz, one reason is because I don't know. I'm afraid. Who knows what'll happen to me? I don't have to do it because I'm paranoid. I'm afraid maybe the doctors will do something wrong and they'll make me die as a result. Says Rav Basel, it's a very interesting thing, a very dangerous thing, it says at the end here. It says, for two deceit, furthermore it says, Terechel Darchinon. So what is Terechel Darchinon? With Tzorech, Sir Mishpatei Tarosenu, the laws of our Torah must be, you, Maskimim Elasechel, have to agree with logic. Vasvara. And what makes sense? You know why this is dangerous? How can we possibly countenance the svara that a person must be blinded? Or lachlok his yada, or cut off his hand, or ragl, or his foot, in order that his friend should be put to death. Amazing thing. No riot. He just says, misvara doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's very dangerous because it can lead to all sorts of conservative reform type of svaras. But that's not the Radbaz says. The Radbaz says it doesn't make sense to say that I have to undergo this type of thing in order to save my friend. Therefore he says, halacha myself, any row at time was in say, I don't see any reason why a person has to do this. Elaminos chasidus. Unless a person wants to do a midas chasidus, then he's entitled. But he doesn't have to. Vashri chalko, if a person does want to do it and he does it, he's a wonderful, wonderful person. Mishnucho lamar to anybody who can withstand this nisayon. However, that's only if there is no suffix sakana. We may suffix sakana to koshos. If there is the least danger that he's going to die as a result, I raise a chassid shreiter. It's not a real chassid, it's an idiot chassid. You don't do chassidus when it's when you might come to die as a result. The sfeik of the day, all the people die the chavrei. He has to take into account his suffix sakana over the fact that his fair friend is in Badai Sakana. This is obviously against the Shaman. The Rabbi is saying clearly, if there's a suffix sakana for me, that definitely overrules any Badai Sakana for my friend. I don't have to put myself under the gun. So what does the Rabbi say? And there's a case where an operation can be made to save somebody else, but entails even the slightest degree of suffix for me, it seems with the Rabbi, that I shouldn't undergo the operation. It's a chassid shoyter. And the Tzitz Eliezer, therefore, paskin, in the early days of kidney transplants, that one shouldn't undergo kidney transplant. In other words, there shouldn't be a donor. Because the donor also runs a risk. Since the donor runs a risk, if the suffix happens to the fossils, it's not permissible. That's the way the Tzitz Eliezer wanted to rule. However, Rav Avadi Yosef came along and he disagreed. Rav Avadi Yosef said he found another Radbaz. And that's on the other side of the page. The other Radbaz says, I'm going to do the two underlined parts. The laws of your body, not only do you have no danger to yourself, you have to save your friend, even if you have a little bit of a suffix sakana, kigron, such as what is the case given? You saw your friend drowning in the ocean. Or we see boy malov or the bandits coming against him, or higher or wild animals. In all these cases, which are what the Aruch HaShulchan spoke about, there is a little bit of a degree of danger. So therefore, nonetheless, you have to try and save. And even if you can't go personally and save because you don't know how to swim, or because you don't know how to tame wild animals, I have to try and save him with my money. Obviously I get paid back, but I have to try and expend money on it. Now let's go down to the other underline. You should know that also you're not allowed to stand by where your friend is going to lose money. If you see a friend's house burning down, you have to get involved. You have to make sure to try and save his house as much as possible. Ella, but for your friend's money, I don't have to put myself in the situation of possible danger for his money. To save my friend's soul. Oh, shalom yovel erbar, even if he's going to commit an adulterous act. I have to stop him from committing an adulterous act, and I have to put myself in danger to stop him from committing such a grave avera. Even a place where there's a little bit of a suffix sakona, I have to get involved. And this is his interpretation of Yerushalmi. A little bit of Suffolk Tachon I have to get involved. What is the Shir? Here's where it comes in. If the Suffolk is tense towards the definite danger, I don't have to give myself over to save my friend. Even if it's 50-50, I don't have to give myself over to save my friend. The Maichos is the same Torah. Maichos is the Dhamma Di Dachsum of Fei, who says his blood is redder. The Yom Dhamma Di Dachsum of Fei, maybe my blood is redder. Avlima Suffolk and a Mukha. But if it's not a 50-50 Suffolk, Elonote Latola, it's more likely you'll save it than that you yourself will undergo problems. Vulo Yistakein, Vulo Hitzil, if you don't put yourself into danger, you don't save him in that case, over Elo Samar Al Damriyecho. You transgress Lo Samar Al Damriyecho. Now, I'm going to put myself a little bit out on a limb here, but I'll say that I don't think 60-40 is enough of a percentage. Probably has to be something more like 80-20 or something like that. Something which is more clear cut, at least one standard error of measurement perhaps, away from dead center. That has to be something which is much, much more likely to succeed than to fail. But says the Radbaz, you have to go in a case where the chances are such that the overwhelming odds are the potential of success, then you're not allowed to stand out idly by. So what are we talking about here? A kidney operation. In a kidney operation, at least nowadays, the odds are overwhelming that nobody's going to have any problems. According to Rav Avadia Yosef, based on this Radbaz, if you don't undergo a kidney transplant, if you're not a donor where you can be, you transgress Lo Samar Al Damriyecho.
What about the first one? The finger.
Right. So the question is, what do you do with the first Radbaz? So what would you answer? No, but the Rabbi says I'm not mukhiyev in that case. The Rabbi says I'm not mukhiyev in that first case. So you have to say like this. You have to say.
It doesn't sound like a race.
The first
Rabbi, there's no question about it. And here, it might come out. Totally healthy.
Right. So then he would say that Rav Avadia Yosef is wrong. That a kidney transplant you can't force a person to do because there he's undergoing a surgical procedure.
You just said that the Zavada is going to come out almost positively, he's going to lose the happy life.
But then it's the first same thing like the first one.
The question of
whether he's taking a part of it, and the guy gets scratched on his ear.
Right. Even in such a case,
he's going to
prove
it. By that, he's going to forbid blood donation.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later on. What? Not for me. So that's what I believe the key is here. The answer, the thing is, according to the Radbaz, you're not mechuyev to give a kidney if you're afraid. If you're afraid, you don't have to do it. However, if it's not a question of fear, but a question of, well, I don't want to undergo the trouble. I don't want to get involved because of the body. Because it costs too much money. Or because it's going to take me away from work for too long. Besides that, that's not permitted.
So the thing is, Chiyuv switches based on your das.
Right, exactly.
It's with your shalom.
It's based on your hypochondria, basically.
You should not be afraid.
Right. If you're afraid, if you have this paranoia, if you have this problem, if you're afraid of operations, then we can't be behind you. The moment you don't have this, if you can't stand the sight of blood, you're nervous about having to see your own blood, your own kidney on the table. So then when it can't be mechayev you to do it. But if you don't have that sort of fear, then you're mechayev to do it. That's what it seems from the Rashbaz. Okay? That's the only way those two truths can be reconciled. Therefore, says Rav Avadia Yosef, in this case, let me see if I can find the exact quote. He says that it's mutar vaf lemitzvah yichashiv lo. It's mutar, one is allowed to pull himself out of that situation, and it's also considered to be a mitzvah. I think I misstated myself before. He doesn't not mechayev you to give a kidney, but if you are in a situation that you're not afraid, then it's a mitzvah to do so because of this Radbaz who says that where the suffix is overwhelmingly in your favor, you should get donated. You should get involved.
The recipient is referred to as Haver here. Is there any distinction made whether or not it's really a relative or if it's just a friend? And whether, I imagine it means that it's not a goy, presumably, right?
No, it has to be any Jew.
Any Jew.
Right.
And it's not a distinction whether it's a family member or not. It
doesn't make any difference. By kidney transplant, it doesn't have to be a family member.
That's correct.
Yeah, so it doesn't make any difference.
Looking related donors are 99% first or second relatives.
Is that because it's more compatible? Yes, ma'am.
Where do you see anywhere in the Rambaz?
Do you think the Rambaz about the fact that the person's personal fear changes what you're saying? The first Rambaz?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it says anything explicitly, but
I don't know why you assume that.
I don't see anything explicitly in the first Rambaz, but I don't have any other way of reconciling the Tshuvas. I don't know otherwise how to do it. So when the first Rambaz is saying that it's the first Rambaz is saying, you know, I'll tell you the truth where I got the idea. The idea I got is from a Tzitz Eliezer, a later Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer wants to discuss later. I don't know anything about this. The doctors here are going to have to help me out. It seems that there's a difference between a regular donation of blood and a donation of blood platelets. Is anybody familiar with the procedure? What is it? So when you do that, they take all the blood out of your body, the Tzitz Eliezer says?
Yes. Slowly, it recirculates, basically. What it does is it goes through a machine a small amount at a time.
Yeah.
It's a continuous type of thing, and the machine basically filters out. Like,
so is there some point when you have no blood in your body?
No.
How you can survive like that?
No, it's always replacing. Yeah. So it's only a small percent.
It takes about 1,000 to get the platelets off.
And it's continuous, so you may have it any one time. You'll have a pint out of the body, but it's always a different kind.
I don't know if the Tzitz Eliezer understood that. But the Tzitz Eliezer said, what?
In that tshuva, which it's clear that he was either talking about something that doesn't exist or he was misinformed
Because it sounds like what he's saying, it sounds like they removed all, he understood they removed all the blood at one time and then they put it all back. Trying to understand how it's possible. But he says there, that operation, he said, that type of procedure is also fi halacha. You're not allowed to put yourself in that situation because it's a vadai sakana. It's that is what the rabbis would call no test. What? I mean, if they take out all your blood, so that's definitely a vadai sakana. So therefore, he says you're not allowed to put yourself in that situation. But then he says, what about a person who doesn't want to give a blood transfusion? He doesn't want to give regular blood. He doesn't want to donate blood. So he says, there it depends. If you're afraid of giving blood, you don't have to. It says from the first Rabbaz, the first one he said, that if you receive it, if you're afraid, you're nervous, you're not mechuyev to do so. So that's where I got the idea of that too. I don't know, I might be incorrect, but that's where I got the idea that there's a difference of whether you're afraid, whether it makes you nervous or doesn't make you nervous. So the Torah is not mechayiv you to undergo this procedure. If you want, but to undergo this procedure is a mitzvah. That's what the first Rabbaz said, as long as it's not a bavei sakana. The second Rabbaz is saying that in a 50-50 situation, you don't have to put yourself in danger. If the odds are overwhelming of success, you should put yourself. But I assume that it shouldn't be a contradiction, that that's the only way you don't have a fear. When you have a fear, the Torah would never mechayiv you. So the Torah wouldn't make you do that against your desires. Okay, so that is the story with the kidney operation. Now, and Rav Moshe also in the tshuva, which I photocopied the other page, which you won't see right now, Rav Moshe also is matir kidney transplants. But that brings us again to the topic of cornea transplants. Because this is all talking about while a person is alive. What happens if that person is dead? Can a person will his eye to an eye bank or to any individual who needs a cornea transplant? B, can I go and take, let's say I need a cornea transplant, can I in fact go and take a cornea from a dead Jew and use it in order to restore my sight? Okay, these are two sides of the question. Now, one of them implies reshus, right? On one hand, when I'm talking about the donor gives permission. Now, is the donor allowed to give permission? It would seem yes. If a donor can give permission to take out a kidney while he's still alive, why can't he give permission to give a cornea when he's already dead? Why not? So there's several reasons why not. There's three questions when we come to cornea transplants. One question is the question of Isra'anah. One is not allowed to derive any benefit from a dead body. Anything whatsoever. Depends of any benefit from a dead body.
Dead Jewish body.
Dead Jewish body. By going into Machlokas, but we'll say dead Jewish body for the time being. Yeah. Number two is there's an Isra of Nibul Hames. One is not allowed to desecrate a Jewish dead body. Okay, that's besides not having, I know you can't just cut off a corpse and use it for whatever purpose. It's so desired. Number three is the mitzvah of Kavura. Right, if I take out a cornea, then I'm not burying that cornea. There's a mitzvah of burying every single part of the dead body. Eventually it gets buried. The donor, right, but in the meantime I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of Gura. So therefore I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of Gura. I'm, as a matter of fact, intentionally preventing the mitzvah of Gura from being fulfilled in the meantime. And there's an Isser, well, it's an Isser Torah. You can't, halona lo soin es niblos aleis. You have to bury a person as soon as possible. I can't leave a person around. Okay, so the first question, the question of Isra Noah. There are several reasons why Isra Noah might not apply. One is that, problems make a shear. What would you assume that Isra Noah applies to? What shear? Kazayas.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, so this is less than a cornea.
Cornea
is less than a kazayas.
How many corneas in a
kazayas? you'll have to take them in there and pay them and see how many there is. That's one heter is Pachos Mikashir. The other heter which is used is that this is Shaloka Derech Hanoso.
Right. Shaloka Derech Hanoso.
It's not the normal way of receiving hanor from a dead body.
Doesn't the meaning of pikuach nefesh come in your
home? What do you want to ask?
What's normal?
That's what Revelation says.
How else are you
going to
read?
What's normal in a dead body? Using a cornea is a normal way of getting benefit from a dead body. You're right. That's exactly what Revelation says. Revelation Feinstein does not accept the heter of Lokadarko because of this reason. There's no other derech hanor, getting hanor from a dead body. What else could you make it a carpet? I mean, that's the derech hanor from a dead body. Tuma?
Yeah.
No, if it's less than a shear, there's no way of tuma either.
Less than a shear.
Yeah. If it's less than a size, it won't be tuma.
So it means if a person to have a paschal that exists, and a doctor of a kidney transplant or a heart transplant or anything else, which is probably bigger than a kazayas, would be an issue of tuma.
Well, we'll get that later. We'll come back to that. In a few minutes, I'll come back to that point.
Isn't there a heter for all of this having to do with something to kuach nefesh? If somebody, you're going to donate a kidney.
Not by a cornea. Not necessarily by a cornea, because by a cornea, we'll come to that in a few minutes, by a cornea, it's not necessarily kuach nefesh. The person can't see. But that's not necessarily kuach nefesh. Okay? But that's more of an agadic thing. That's not the same thing. No, that's not the same thing like a sakonas kakoshos gemara. That's a little bit. Rabbi Avadia says takes that into account in his final psak. But that's not enough to tip the scales by itself. We have to overcome these other problems independently. There's another story which I'm surprised nobody has thought of. I'm really surprised. A really good chav svara, a punterman svara. No, I was going to say something else. No. Something about why there's no problem. It's going to answer all three problems, as a matter of fact. Well, not the problems one and three, not problem number two. What is the Rasa Kavanaugh from? What? Part of a dead body.
From the Gufa Meish.
Yeah, what is this cornea now?
It now becomes part of the human body.
It's high. Because you just put it back. When you transplanted it back into the... When you're getting that note, when are you getting that note? You're getting that note when he looks through it, right? When he sees through his cornea. When he sees his cornea, it's no longer part of the dead body. It's part of the live body. It went to Tchiyas HaMesech. That's the third heritage. Kam the Tchiyas. It's a resurrected eye. So since it's a resurrected eye, there's no problem with Isra Noah.
You might be able to go on further. I don't think that it's really at any point dead. That's why it can still be reused.
What do you mean it's never dead?
And the cornea, my limited understanding of that whole procedure is that the nerves or the cells aren't dead, and that's why they can be reused.
That will make a difference. How likely, as we mentioned that last week, your body cells die at various different rates.
Right.
Body cells can be alive even after the organism has died. So therefore, that even though the body cell is alive, and Allah is regarded as being part of the mace. So even though the cell is alive, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, so therefore, the moment it's harvested, it's being harvested from a dead body, the neshama is no longer there, it's also to use.
And there's still an isser hanah.
Why?
Because the moment that you're harvesting it...
You're not getting that hanah then. When you're harvesting it, you're not deriving benefits. You're only getting benefit when it's actually implanted in the new eye. When it's implanted in the new eye, you're no longer getting benefit from something which is dead. It's not dead tissue anymore. It's not tissue from a dead body.
The distinction really is that you're talking about the moment you harvest, it's the question of nivul ames.
Right, nivul ames. Right, nivul, and therefore, kamut chia, the third far also would answer the kvura problem.
Oh.
Right, I only have to bury dead tissue. I don't have to bury live tissue. This is live tissue. That's not exact. I only have to bury tissue from a dead body. This now became tissue from a live body. There's no mitzvah kvura anymore.
I mean, if successful then I'm afraid you were over when you took it out. If it didn't,
you're unsuccessful.
Yes.
Then you can write. Well, then you have to bury it then.
So only you'll have it since you will.
The thing is, not everybody accepts, Rav Shlomo Zalman does not accept this extrapolation. He says, maybe there's no Isra Anor. But once the mitzvah Gura applied, something mentioned this far a moment ago, once the mitzvah Gura applied, you can't take off the mitzvah Gura. So this piece of tissue now must be buried. Granted, if you have an Isra Anah, this Anah will come off the moment it's implanted in the new body. But the mitzvah of Furah will never come off. This is a part of the body which became Mechuyim in the mitzvah of Furah. You don't bury it, you're not fulfilling your mitzvah of Furah. So some people don't accept this extrapolation.
You're saying when...
That's a matter of contention.
You're saying, who is it, Eliyahu or Elisha revived the Shumite...
The Banner Tsunami.
He was supposed to be buried?
He was supposed to. That's the question, whether he was really considered to be dead. You know, you can't bury somebody who's now alive, even though he might be a Mitzvah Kura, because you're going to kill him. Right? So there, the Mitzvah Kura is superseded by Pikuach Nefesh. So it's, maybe you do have a Mitzvah Kura on this individual, but if you bury him alive, you're going to kill him as a result. So therefore, you can't do it. Technical problem. Okay, now...
So there's an answer also to anything else that Rav... would you say Shlomo...
Shlomo Zalman
would say about any other organ?
What do you mean, any other organ?
Say the same what you just said about the mitzvah of Pura, that would apply to other organs also, right? Not just cornea.
Right.
But if it's going to bring somebody else, if it's an Indian of Pukuach Nefesh,
right, if
another person,
that's right,
his argument's not going to
hold.
That's
right. If it's an Indian Pukuach Nefesh, it won't apply. Right. But so far, only talk about corneas, which are not necessarily Pukuach Nefesh. We're trying to isolate that case. There is a few other reasons why we might not have a problem here. Among them was Minyas Kvura. One of them is, again, as we said, Koch Mikashir. If it's less than a kezias, then you don't necessarily have to bury it. And there's also another extenuating circumstance of kvura, that the din of kvura, the requirement to be kovar.
Oh, one second. I think I'm making a mistake. Check this out.
Yeah, the requirement to kovar is only drabona. So since the requirement to be kovar is only drabona, so therefore we would say, well, if it's the Rabbana, we could push off the Rabbana because of the sight of this individual. Under these extenuating circumstances, Rabbana would not be kosher. They wouldn't have their decree applied. Okay, so those are the three problems by cornea and how we get around them. Ramaisa, halacha maisa, Ravadi Yosef says that one can. I didn't deal with Nivul Ames. Nivul Ames is an interesting case at the end of the Yerodea. Cases like this. There was a lady who was an Aguna. Remember this case I mentioned once before. There was a lady who was an Aguna who claimed that in a certain grave her husband was buried. In other words, we didn't know. Her husband was gone for years, never found. She's an Aguna. She claims her husband is in a certain grave. can we exhume the grave, the body, in order to check if that's also in the Kohen? So it's Machlok Zafoski. The Shiva Sion says you can't exhume the body. Why? Because you don't know whether it's the body or not. She claims yes, but who says? So why should you exhume this dead body? Why should you disturb his rest in order for this woman? Besides that, he says, and then he's too thorough. He says, Meisim are parted from all mitzvahs. Dead people don't do Makai mitzvahs. I have a chiyuv to try and be matir naguna, to try and allow her to remarry. A dead person has no chiyuv to try and be matir naguna. So therefore, you can't disturb his rest in order to be matir naguna. Tafla. We don't pass in that way. Most folks can say that in a case of very, very extenuating circumstances, you can be menavel, the mate, you can exhume the body, even though the problem of legal invasion is involved, you can exhume the body in order to get the woman out of being an aguna. So says the Shulchan says that, a lot of other folks can say that. So says the Rabbi Yosef, the same thing applies in our case. Legal invasion is taken care of by Sorech Godel. Just like for the aguna, where we exhume the dead body, even though legal invasion is involved, so too, in the case of the cornea transplant, we're allowed to desecrate the dead body and take out the cornea in order to save somebody else's life. Now, that's an interesting story because the point of this, it would be matter even if he didn't tell you to do so. If you say extenuating circumstances have that power, so then, whether he told me or not, I'll just go ahead and do it. Right? That's what he would say, according to that story. But, Lamaisa, we're not making that far. As a matter of fact, the Rabbi Yosef says, Halach l'maisa, he doesn't want to be matir for a Jewish doctor to remove a cornea from a dead body. He says, even if a person donated his cornea, he said explicitly he's donating it, only b'shas hatchak godol do we allow removing the cornea from a dead body. Because of all these problems. Grant, we came up with the heads of each individual problem. But when you have a whole string of heterim, we don't rely on them if we can avoid them. You're putting it in. Once it's out, once they took off the cornea from a dead patient, no matter who the patient was, the doctor can be involved in performing the transplant.
What's the
Metzius of Shasat Chagodol? I don't know. It's a person.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I guess you'd have to find a really highly specialized case where this site was, for this person, was very important, not just for himself, but for his family, for Am Yisrael, something like that. I don't know, maybe Parnassa. I don't know. Well, that if he's Parnassa, that's not Shasat Chag. Shasat Chag. Yeah, but then we don't do that. We want to do that. That's not Shasat Chag. No, that wouldn't be Shasat Chag. If he's Parnassa, he's Parnassa. Big deal. So he's Parnassa for mitzvahs. He might even be happier that way. But
I mean, anybody who does anything today needs his eyes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
You're right. I don't know. I guess Shasat Chagodol means not just that he needs his eyes, but there are absolutely no corneas available. In other words, that there's no eye bank from which you can get a cornea without having to resort to this case, without having to resort to this individual.
Or no one else that can take it out.
What?
Or no one else that can take it out.
That's right, no one else that can take it out.
There's still no Shasat Chag.
No, it isn't Shasat Chag. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now I'm talking about Shasat Chag out from the supply side. You understand what I'm saying? The Shasat Chag means I can't get a cornea from any other place. You're right. Assuming there's a Shasat Chag as a result of the Parnassa, and a result of his family, and a result of his life, that's one thing. But besides that, the supply, if I really can't, if I can get one from Europe and pay hundreds of dollars for it, then I shouldn't take it from Jewish patients. That's what he's saying. If I get one from America and pay thousands of dollars from it, I shouldn't take from it as a Jewish patient in the state of Israel, where he's discussing the Shiloh, just in order to avoid monetary expense. It has to be that there's absolutely no corneas available anywhere. That's what I assume he means by Shasat Chag. Okay? So that's the issue of cornea transplants. Again, there are machmirim, but we're about to say it's makel to get involved under these circumstances. Now, when it comes to skin grafts, there the heter is more readily available. Why? Because skin grafts are normally pikuach nefesh, directly. If you have a severe burn victim, he's right now in a situation of severe sakonis nefashos. So since he's in a situation of severe sakonis nefashos, skin grafts are almost everybody is matir. Okay?
because of the situation, since it's much, much more grave, so therefore it's granted after permissible. I don't find anybody so certain. You're right. I'll rephrase that. We don't find anybody so certain explicitly by skin grafts.
So therefore, basically, if you co opt that visual, all three of those are going to be all three of the.
If you find a case by a cornea where it'll be because nefesh, then there'll be one or two, but it's very unlikely you'll find such a case. Okay, it'll have to be immediately because nefesh, yeah.
Can you be donor to an unidentified recipient, or must it be to another Jew?
Let me leave that for a few moments, okay? Now, there is, although an interesting tzitz Eliezer here. If you look at page number 7 at the bottom, the tzitz Eliezer says, this is an amazing thing, but tzitz Eliezer says, he brings it down from Moroccan Posek. Okay, I will go through the whole paragraph, but it's a little bit late. I want to go through the end of this first paragraph here, where in the box, about 7 lines in the bottom of the first paragraph. Hamocharatma at the comma. It says Hamocharatma lekach, somebody who sells his cornea or donates his cornea for that matter. It doesn't necessarily have to be for money. Hamocharatma lekach yeda nemona, should know for sure. Shekasher yokum mitzias hamesim, when he gets up the tchias hamesim at the end of days, yasuma veinav, he's going to be blind. Just like Chazal said, he must be buried in shroud, so he don't get up naked. Even though they said all people who undergo, who have mumin, who have wounds in this world, will be healed in the world to come. That's only if he was born that way. Or some incident occurred to him, and as a result, he got a mum. If you damage yourself, and you sell your eyes because I'm only for money, logic dictates you don't give, they don't give you from Shemayim eyes. And to take a look at the end of the page where it's underlined, it's clear to me, says the Tzitzitzer, and none of the Talmidei Chachamim who were matzilus in our day and age, none of them are willing to fulfill. They're not going to be willing to donate their corneas. He says, you find me one of the poskim who will be willing to donate their cornea to a patient. You won't be willing to give over any of his limbs to l'shem ha'Torah souls for a transplant. Even if he knows for sure she's tamshubo rakavur atzolos chol mesukon. El, who's that? Why is that true? The deep belief of any believing Jewish person, which is very deep in his belief, then the shame really goes on. The idea is that every Jew believes that he, if he gives his eyes up, he's not going to get his eyes back when he is amazing. Now, I bet you nobody here believes that. See? But that's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. Besides that, he says another story similar to what he said before. He says that, who knows, if you give your eyes to somebody else, let's say Reuven gets your eyes, who knows how many times Reuven is going to use your corneas to be over in Los Asura Achrei Nechem. It's very strange. But the first freshman,
it's sent for money.
Same thing. Even though it says Hamocher, donating would have the same svara. If you give it up on your own volition, they don't give it back to you by Tzvi Yosemese.
Why?
That's what this Bosek is saying. But I want you to bring a proof that this is incorrect from something we learned earlier.
What's his mark?
He weren't here. What? I don't know. This is a Spidey Posek. I don't know where he got it from. But what are we learning in the Radbaz? Radbaz says if you want to give up a limb,
you can do so if you're willing.
Ashrecha v'tovla. The Radbaz never said any such thing. The Radbaz is a very big mekubal too. The Radbaz never said anything about losing or not getting it back to us at level.
You're alive though.
So what? What's the difference? What's the difference? If when you're alive, you're allowed to give it up. Koshkin, when you're dead.
Talking about organs that you really didn't need.
What?
Yeah.
Radbaz was talking about organs that you could live without.
The Radbaz didn't say, wait a minute, the Radbaz didn't specify any organ. According to Radbaz, if you want to give up your eye, you give up your eye too. There's no issue of giving up your eye. You don't have to, but you're allowed to give up your eye. The Radbaz never said, and don't give up your eye because you won't get it back. So according to the Radbaz, this doesn't apply. When Mike said, no, nobody brings down the Svara except for the Tito Eliezer here. But...
maybe they
want to think out of it. Well, right, yeah. But Lemaisa, you see, in the RCA proxy, they write that giving corneas is a very, donating a cornea is a very big mitzvah. They don't write that there's a Tito Eliezer, it says this, that, and the other thing. In my opinion, that's improper advertising. It's not, they're not fully revealing the truth. Although Reb Moshe, which is at the top of the page, says that it's a mitzvah to do so, to give your cornea, it's not necessarily 100% accurate because there are other poskim who disagree. So I think that if truth in advertising would have required them to tell you that the Tito Eliezer is not so much in favor because of this reason.
Tito Eliezer is the only one that's saying it.
But there aren't that many poskim who spoke about it. You know, it's a relatively recent procedure. So if you have five poskim who spoke about it, the Tito Eliezer is a big gun. You know, it's not so easy not to take the Tito Eliezer into account. You understand what I'm saying?
Agreed.
That's true. But it's all I'm saying. I'm saying it's mutter. I agree, it's mutter.
No, and you also must, I'm sure, investigated with the present day doctors, the holy corny and so on and so forth, yet it didn't say anything about this.
About the fact that he won't get one by CSMA? What does it have to do with doctors?
No.
That has nothing to do with the CSMA score. No, is this CTL has a score that you're not going to get by the CSMA score, but you never dealt with? Obviously, I agree with you that it's probably the Tito Eliezer is probably off base on this one.
Maybe they want to reveal any of this.
Right, but that's but they're telling you to donate your cornea without telling you that there are posts who say it's awesome. If you look at the Lashon of the RCA proxy, it'll be in this week's Midwest Jewish Week. If you look there, you'll see the Lashon is that giving donating corneas is a big mitzvah. Besides which, the bottom line is, and this is the point you brought up before, the bottom line is you don't know where your cornea is going. And that's a big problem by all transplants. You don't know where it's going. In other words, Rabbi Temler is not your heart transplants, and we'll come to that, and we'll conclude with that this evening in a few minutes. But you don't know where your transplant is going. Although it's mutter to be menavelus ames, perhaps with tzorach a Jew, we never saw it's mutter menavelus ames with tzorach a goy. So how can you donate your heart for a transplant? The odds are in America your heart is going to go to a goy. So what? You'll say that is mishum eva, right? Just like a doctor is allowed to go be mechal on Shabbos, right? So totally, it's not going to be eva. Many people don't donate their hearts. Many people don't feel comfortable having their hearts donated for the cause of science.
Yeah, but the difference is that you don't have any one group that states its policy you may take that you can't get.
That's right, but we didn't have to state any policy. I don't know if Mishu maybe have to understand what I'm saying. If the RCA had not come out with a statement, now that the RCA has messed things up by coming up with a statement, let's say, now we're in trouble. Mishum Eva, we might have to go along with it, right? If Rabbi Temler is correct. But prior to that statement, nobody can have a statement either way. As a matter of fact,
there was enough in print.
How many,
I don't know, I don't think...
How many goyim do you have to not save 1 year?
Yeah.
I don't follow what you're saying.
If you didn't give parts, yes. Give organs, eventually it's going to go to yes.
But the odds of that are not very high. It's not going to happen that way.
Statistically,
it depends who died when you need a transplant.
But there's another... It also depends on what kind of a match you get. Statistically, it's going to be the people of the same national or ethnic origins.
Do they actually determine that before they become a heart transplant?
Absolutely. Otherwise, they need a heart. I mean, if you take a look among the blacks, that's one of the things that's going on right now, is that they don't have kidney transplants because they don't. It's not the donors. They don't have donors.
Okay.
And
is that true? If they do that type of selection, then
it's selection. It's compatibility selection. It's not a.
All right. So I don't know. That would already depend on the odds.
One city to another. Yeah. Well, it's very likely that somebody dies that there's a recipient from the same city, but they have a whole computerized list. Yeah. They move from one city.
Okay. So all right. So let's not get on.
So you could take your same point, but you also apply it therefore to blood donations.
Yes.
Where in other words, where
yeah, I'm about to get there.
Well,
that's right. I want to get to that.
And
yes. Okay. It's getting late, so let's proceed a little bit quicker. By bone marrow. By bone marrow, they say there's almost no danger. The only danger is from the general anesthesia, which is very, very little. So therefore, it's very, very difficult for a person. Again, if he's afraid, we don't have to be, we can't force it. But it's very, if a person is really not afraid, he just doesn't want to do it, that's no excuse. Bone marrow, a person has to give. Blood transfusion is the same thing. There's very little danger involved. However, there are poskim, including Tzitz Eliezer and Reb Moshe, who are not 100% happy with giving blood to blood banks. Because they say it's chovel ba'atzmo shel otzar. Now, I'm telling you what they say. I'm just reporting the facts as they're stated. Now, if there's somebody who's in need in front of you, then it's not chovel shel otzar. But if it's going to a bank, then it's not necessarily going to be used. And it's not necessarily going to be used to save Jews either. It might be used for some other purpose. So therefore, in Chutz Loretz, they are not, the Reb Moshe says, if you want to get blood, you can. Somebody wants to be made a lizen tov, we're not moche biyado.
Why you? They used to have several blood drives a year, and
in most shuls they have blood drives. I'm just telling you what Reb Moshe says. Please don't blame me for what Reb Moshe says. That's what Reb Moshe says. Reb Moshe says, if you want to get blood, you're allowed to. That's his lashon. Okay? Because he said, yes. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's much more likely to be used because of the army and all that. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, the poskim are matir much more readily.
Now, is this problem with the blood bank in the sense that there's not a Jew lefanecha, or is
there's nobody in front of you?
Or then it's nobody in front of you.
In front of you.
So then,
if it was a guy, it wouldn't be chovesh lo tzorach either.
But I mean, statistically, we can say that there are X number of. There always is. I mean, especially with the fact that blood.
Yeah, but how much blood actually gets used of the blood bank?
Almost all of it.
A lot of it get destroyed.
Doesn't a lot of it get destroyed?
They run on a shortage, so they're. I mean, especially now that they can freeze it.
Okay, so in that case, maybe the halacha changed for Moshe's time. It seemed for Moshe's time that a lot of it used to go to waste.
When did he write that song?
Many years ago.
Yeah,
at least 20 years ago.
They use almost everything.
Okay, let me just. We're already going over time. So I just want to finish a couple more things. First of all, on the final page, on the back, I bring down there from the Tzitz Eliezer. And he brings down from the Sefer called the Chazdi David. The Chazdi David brings down there in the back, the Sivri Pashas Titzetze al Chosu Kitetze Machno Levechem Nishmat Mikol Dovara. Chosu Betes Nishmat Mikol Dovara, you have to watch yourself for doing anything bad when you go out to battle. Shomani Betaros, which made us understand that's true about Halachos, the Paro, and Tumo, Maitros, Akosu Medaber. Maybe it's not talking about anything else. Tamalom or Erevon. You have to be careful not to be over our rights. Minayin rabbis of the search people's gummim, also idolatry and murder. You have to be careful in the battlefield, the kill us Hashem. Also not to blaspheme. Tamalom nishmat to be called over. So what does it mean? What does it mean shpichus gummim? So this sefer, which is a very important sefer, comes to say, in the next paragraph, Kosovo's house sefer, Safi de Veirov Levar, Sharibui besifil, Isra shpichus gummim, but lolomer shloi hargus isha sachi. Doesn't mean you shouldn't kill somebody else in battle. That's no point of battle, to kill other people. But the point is, if you see a guy is coming to kill your brother, you shouldn't just look away. And you shouldn't transgress the issue of even though you're putting yourself in danger of death, because there are a lot of enemy soldiers, and they're going to come against you. Even though normally you'd be potter under those circumstances, hachachayev. If you're a soldier, the halacha changes. In time of war, your self-preservation falls off. A soldier is not supposed to involve himself in self-preservation.
And this gets into the whole union of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, because Rav Shach says that it's not an issur of pikuach nefesh.
What's not an issur of pikuach nefesh?
That's not
the West Bank, isn't it?
The whole inyan of Milchemet Mitzvah.
No, but we're talking about in the battlefield now. We're not talking about in the question of waging a war. We're talking about in the battlefield. Okay, in the battlefield, what's the halacha? So in the battlefield, when you're there, there is no inyan of Nishmartim Ol L'Nafshel Seichem. You have to do whatever is necessary in order to win the war. You might be killed. That's what happens in war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'asdis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save you, but you have to have your bitachon, Hashem will safeguard you, but you have to go out on a limb. There's no din of a chayvah when it comes to war. That's assuming that the war is permissible, and pi halacha, as most wars are. But assuming that the war is permissible, and by the way, wars of goyim among each other are also permissible. there's no issue on going to wage wars against each other. The Gemara says in Shmuz that a king is allowed to wage war against another king as long as he doesn't commit genocide against his own people, against either of the peoples involved. What's a genocide? More than one-sixth of the nation being killed. As long as not more than one-sixth is killed, that's okay. That war is permissible pi halacha. So that in the case of war, even when you're waging war, secular groups, America against Germany or something like that, then the halacha of the chayvim falls off. According to the rules of war, the rules of engagement, you have to save your fellow Jew when he's out in the field, even if until suffix sakana for yourself. Now, to end off, getting back to the issue of heart transplants and liver transplants, which take place between in that twilight zone, between brainstem death and between actual death. Now, I will refer you to, I hope it will be published. They asked me to submit an article to the Midwest Jewish Week this week. So I did write there about the issue of brain death. But to be brief on the issue, the question of brain death entails a very basic intangible. When does the neshama leave the body? The final analysis is we don't know. We don't know when the neshama leaves the body. Nobody ever told us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never revealed us when the neshama left the body. So therefore, it seems from the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence in the postgame that one has to assume that the neshama doesn't leave the body until all the vital signs have ceased. And since when brainstem death occurs, cardiac arrest has not yet occurred, therefore one cannot assume that a person, that the neshama has actually left. So the neshama has not actually left, therefore it is very difficult to be matir brain death, as brainstem death, as a criterion of death in halacha. So therefore, although if we had a posuk of stature who came along and said with very ironclad rights that that was in fact the criterion of death, we would be able to rely on him. At this point, nobody has stepped forward to fill that breach. So therefore, at this point, it's almost impossible to rely on the posuk who say that brainstem death is a criterion of death, and therefore it is very difficult to allow a Jew to become a donor of a heart or a liver, and if he dies in a car accident, if he's almost dead as a result of a car accident or such like.
But liver can be given without the death of the individual. You can do orthotic liver transplants, just partial liver.
But true. But that's to take a liver from a goseis, though, right, would not be permissible. So you're right. That's a relatively new procedure. That's not discussed at all in the postgame.
So then what heter is there to receive a transplant?
What? Why is it also to receive a transplant? The heart is out already.
You've committed murder, you may as well benefit from
it. Whoever's committed murder, you haven't committed it. You're the patient. You're dying on your own. You're dying
for
your
own. You're paying for it.
But they, if it doesn't go to you, it goes to somebody else.
Well, how about when they take out your...
What is it? Wait a second.
They take out Yenim's heart.
They take out...
I'm paying to have to take out Yenim's
heart. Right, but there are two issues involved. Anytime they transgress an issue to give me a heart, the two issues, or give me anything, there's either the issue of Lifnei Iver, or this issue of Misayei Deo Raveiro. Right? Lifnei Iver means they have nobody else in the world to transplant it to. They only have me. So then I transgress this issue of Lifnei Iver. That's only... The issue would not be transgressed unless I was involved. Now that's clearly not the case with the heart transplant. If they don't give it to me, they're going to give it to somebody else. So what are we left with? Only the Isser of being Messiah del Rever. First of all, the Isser of Messiah del Rever is only the Rabbanim. And it definitely doesn't withstand Pikuach Nefesh. Even if you would say Lifnei Iver does, Messiah del Rever does not.
Yeah, but
besides that, Messiah del Rever only really exists where I am the one who's causing them to do it. They cut out the heart. The moment they have a donor, they cut out the heart. Whoever gets it is then determined by lottery. Right?
Before they take it out, they have...
That's true, but they know that they're going to take it out. If they don't give it to you, they'll give it to somebody else. So therefore, I'm not assisting them in that activity.
Yeah,
true, I'm paid to get it afterwards.
But the supply is influenced by the demand. And so if you would say, no, we should not take heart transplants, that would lower a certain amount of demand.
But I'm saying, Misayeh is not an issue in the case of Bikuach Nefesh. You understand what I'm saying?
But there is Pikuach Nefesh on the guy that you're in charge of taking out by your reasoning.
But my issue involved is only Misayeh. You're right about the doctor who takes out the heart. But the issue of the person who receiving the transplant is only Misayeh de Rivera. So Misayeh de Rivera is not a problem. That's why you'll find that some folks can quote Reb Moshe and say Reb Moshe was Matthew heart transplants and lasted much later after his earlier truths in which he answered them. So they want to say, from this we have a raya that heart transplants are permutzer. It's not a raya. You're allowed to receive a heart transplant. You're not allowed to be involved in taking the heart out of a dead patient.
How about taking the heart out of a live patient?
The heart out of a live patient?
Right, yes. Recipient.
The recipient? Yeah, that would be okay, because Rav Moshe says that the halachos of trefos by human beings is determined by modern medicine at the time. So therefore, as long as we have a way of reviving this individual, the same thing by open heart surgery. As long as we have a way of reviving the individual after we put him under, then he's not considered to be a trefa. As long as we have a relatively reliable way, right? Let's say our open heart surgery, put him on the heart-lung machine. Most of the time, 99% of the time, whatever the averages are, you get him back. So that's not considered to be a trefa. If it was an animal, he would be trefa. An animal with no heart is considered to be trefa. You can't eat it. But a human being, since modern medicine exists to bring the person back, you're not over on mitzicha. So therefore, despite the fact that he took out the heart temporarily, since you're going to put in something else which will sustain life, it's not mitzicha. Same thing with an artificial heart. If an artificial heart would work, they don't. But if and when they will get them to work, it will not be a problem to put an artificial heart into an individual. Hi, he doesn't have his regular heart, but his life is being sustained. What do I care what's sustaining his life? As long as he's alive, modern medicine keeps him alive, that's permissible. Okay?